Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Hadith class with myself, Abu Mus'ab. Now, this is a new class, which actually it started last week, Monday, but due to some technical difficulties, it appeared that no sound came out whatsoever to any of the listeners. Therefore, it was necessary to redo the class again and do a repeat tonight. So that's basically what we're doing tonight. We're starting the Kitab Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah, better known as Ash-Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, written by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, which consists of various ahadith describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those of you who are new, the download link for the kitab has been posted on Ummah Forum. The link is there in the ummah.com/forum. In the Ummah Radio section, there is a thread with the name Monday Aqidah Hadith Class. And in the very first, or rather a bit lower down on the page, within the first post itself, you'll see a link to a kitab, Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah. I did link the kitab over there, so you can download the kitab directly and you can follow as the lesson goes along. If you want to follow from the book, that is. If you want to follow just via audio, you can do that too. There's no harm. And lastly, if you have any questions or any parts or something that you do not understand or you need explained, then you can send in your questions and comments and things via Skype. The Skype name is Ummah Radio. So in any case, that's that. So we can move on to the kitab itself. Like I said, the download link is there. So if you open up this particular print of the book, you'll see the front page says Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah lil Imam Abi Isa Muhammad ibn Sawrah al-Tirmidhi, which is written by Imam Abu Isa Muhammad ibn Sawrah al-Tirmidhi. That is the full name of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, the same author who wrote Jami' al-Tirmidhi or Sunan al-Tirmidhi, however you prefer to call it, the famous book of hadith. It's the same author who has written this kitab. He was born in the town of Tirmidh in the year 209 after Hijrah, and he passed away in the same town in the year 279, meaning he lived for 70 years. Now this particular print, it says Ta'liqun wa Ishraf Izzat Ubaid al-Da'as. The footnotes and commentaries and things has all been done by this man by the name of Izzat Ubaid al-Da'as. He has done a very good job, really, if you look at the effort that he has spent in adding in all these things, which you will see when you start the kitab itself. So he made it very easy for at least for those people who are able to understand Arabic, so you're not left in the dark about anything, because he'll always put footnotes in accordingly when there's anything that is difficult. So anyway, jumping the first few pages, coming on to page 5, this is where the same man, Izzat Ubaid al-Da'as, he gives a little introduction quickly. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then he says, Muqaddimah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa afdalus salati wa atammu tasleem ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ajma'in. He says, wa ba'd. Imam Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi, he has another book. Other than his book, which is known as Al-Jami' al-Sahih, which is also known as Sunan al-Tirmidhi. And it is a book which is known as Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah, wherein he has gathered 400 ahadith regarding the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from a physical and also from a characteristic point of view. And this book has been printed a number of times with a various amount of explanations by various ulama on it. And similarly, he says that this book, Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, has been printed with Sunan al-Tirmidhi in India. For people who have been to any of the Darul Ulooms, they normally use the India print of the book, and you'll find right at the ending of the book, Shama'il al-Tirmidhi is put in as an addition to the kitab. Two separate kitabs, but within one book. So he says, this book has been printed like this in India, but I wanted to take the book alone, this Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah alone, out and so that it can stand freestanding like how it is, like how he has done over here. So then, because obviously wanting to look at the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all on its own, separately. Then he says, he goes on to how basically his work in the book itself, and he says that He tried to keep it without any changes or anything of the sort like that, and any explanations and stuff like that, he has put it within, quoted it as far as possible in his footnotes and stuff. And he additionally, he also mentioned sources where these ahadith can be found in. Like I said, this ahadith are reported by Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, and the sanads of the ahadith are there. He did not extract that either. It's still here within the book. So you can read and see the whole sanad of the hadith, the chain of narration. So he has left that there, but over and above that, he's also, because Imam At-Tirmidhi reports this hadith, but other imam also reports this hadith. So if you want to reference it to another source, as you can say, a more primary source, although this itself is also a primary source, but if you wanted like for Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, then as far as possible, he has put in those references as well. And he says, obviously the six famous books of hadith, which is Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Nasai, Ibn Majah, and also additional books that he has relied upon is the Khairul Mawaris of Imam An-Nablusi and Taysirul Wusul of Ibn Diba' al-Shaybani and others. And then he ends and he says, وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى الْأَجْرَ وَالثَّوَابِ وَأَيُّلْهِمَنَا التَّحَلِّ وَالتَّخَلُّقِ بِخُلُقِ هَذَا النَّبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي هُوَ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى لِلْمُسْلِمِ. And we ask Allah Ta'ala the reward, and that he inspires us and endows with us with the manners and the characteristics of this noble Nabi, who is the highest example for a Muslim. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And then he writes, Izzat Ubaid al-Da'as. This was written in the town of Hims in Syria on the 20th of Muharram, 1388. So quite a couple of years ago this was written. Moving on to page 6 quickly, he says, just an important note, he says that those things which you will find inside the book of the number of ahadith in a chapter and things like that, you'll find it all within brackets. Just remember that these things which are between the brackets is from the side of this man, Izzat Ubaid al-Da'as, and it is not part of the original book that Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah has written. Imam At-Tirmidhi, he just simply gave a heading and then he started with the ahadith. But this man, Izzat Ubaid al-Da'as, he went further and he went to count the amount of ahadith in each particular chapter and then added it along within the headings. So he's just putting this note here just so that you know that it's not actually part of the kitab itself. Okay then, moving on finally onto page 7. This is where the actual kitab itself starts, so we can start the kitab officially and properly, and we say, Bismillah walhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, he starts his kitab, he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Actually, this one line is not part of the kitab of Imam At-Tirmidhi. But it says, قَالَ الْحَافِظُ أَبُو عِيسَى مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عِيسَى إِبْنِ سَوْرَةَ التِّرْمِذِي. Al-Hafidh. Hafidh is a term which is used for a muhaddith who has memorized a certain amount of ahadith. So ulama have mentioned that in order to be a hafidh of hadith, you have to memorize 100,000 ahadith. So the Imam Abu Isa, Muhammad ibn Isa, ibn Sawrah At-Tirmidhi, this is the name of Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, he starts his kitab in the very first chapter, he says, Babu ma ja'a fi khalqi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَفِيهِ 14 حَدِيثًا. So the actual heading of Imam At-Tirmidhi is simply just this, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي خَلْقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. That is as far as Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah has given the heading. The rest, وَفِيهِ, and this in brackets 14 حَدِيثًا, this is from the side of the printer, they have put this in, yeah, this man, Izzat Ubaid al-Da'as, like I said, he counted the amount of ahadith in the chapter and he found that there were 14. So he put here, and in this chapter, there are 14 ahadith. So this heading of this chapter is the chapter regarding the physical description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, starting with the most important of things first, which is the physical description. So it's important you pay attention to these ahadith. It gives you a bit more of a, as you can say, a picture and insight into how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really was. Just before actually starting the kitab, I made a tongue-in-cheek comment earlier in last week that we would be having a Mawlid on Ummah Radio. So, obviously, during the question and answer session, over the last few weeks, people have been asking the question about permissibility or impermissibility of Maulid and everything and all that things of the sort. Any case, just to summarize things in a nutshell, with tonight being the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, so it just so happens that we are starting this kitab on this particular night. When you find the Imam As-Suyuti rahimahullah, Imam Abu Shamah, and the Imam Ibn Hajar and various other ulama, when they gave permissibility for a mawlid, the last thing on earth that they were permitting is Christmas lights and dancing and all other weird behavior. This is not at all what they had in mind when they permitted it. When they spoke of a mawlid, it's basically what we are about to do right now. What we are doing, it's a class, but you can say it's like a halqa. We are sitting together and we are doing a hadith, and these ahadith just so happen to be in the remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, when you speak about the physical description and the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then obviously you are speaking and remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is technically what the a'immah termed as a mawlid. So technically, this class is a mawlid from the perspective of those a'immah who permitted mawlid. So it was just a statement I wanted to clarify in case people were thinking, what is the mawlid that was going to be held on Ummah Radio? So basically, that is what I was referring to. But in any case, with that being said and done, we can move on to the very first hadith of this chapter. And obviously, like you said, he did not remove the sanad, the chains of narration from the ahadith. So as we read, we will read the sanad as well. So hadith number one. قال الحافظ أبو عيسى محمد بن عيسى ابن ثورة الترمذي حدثنا أبو رجاء قتيبة بن سعيد عن مالك بن أنس عن ربيعة بن أبي عبد الرحمن عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أنه سمعه يقول كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس بالطويل البائن. I'm not going to read the entire hadith in one go. Rather, I'm going to read in bits and pieces so that I can explain it in order, so that it's not too much for you all at once to comprehend. So starting with the hadith itself, Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, he reports this hadith from Abu Raja, whose name is Qutaybah ibn Sa'id, very famous narrator of hadith, who in turn reports it from Malik ibn Anas. Now, you know Malik ibn Anas, this is Imam Dar al-Hijrah, this is Imam Malik rahimahullah of the Maliki Madhab, who in turn narrated it from Rabi'a ibn Abi Abd al-Rahman, who says that he heard Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu saying, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu was describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the words that he described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. So he said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس بالطويل البائن. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was not visibly tall. So as you would say, not extremely tall. Tall, averagely tall, but not extremely tall. ولا بالقصير. Nor was Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم short. ولا بالأبيض الأمهق. Nor was Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم very white. And when very white is used here in the hadith, it's referred to as a pale white. You know, some people are so white that, as you can say, white as snow, that they are like deathly pale, that type of pale white. This Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not like this. It continues, wala bil adam, nor was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brown. Brown meaning dark. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of a white, wheatish complexion. Not white as in pale, pale white, but white with a, as you can say, a bit of a red and slight wheatish color. So always, as you see already, neither too tall nor short, nor white nor brown, a middle path in everything. He continues, وَلَا بِالْجَعْدِ الْقَطَطِ. Nor was the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam twisted and curly. This ja'd al-qatat refers to the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, wala bi-sabti, nor was the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam length. So again, middle path, neither twisted and curly, nor extremely straight. Rather, the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was straight with a bit of a wave in it. So, as you can see, already everything here so far, it's on a middle path, not to either of the extremes. That's the end of page 7. Continuing on to page 8, the hadith continues. He says, بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَىٰ رَأَسِ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً, that Allah sent him as a messenger when he had reached 40 years of age. فَأَقَامَ بِمَكَّةَ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ وَبِالْمَدِينَةِ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ, he stayed in Mecca for 10 years and in Medina for 10 years. Now here's one point here that needs just to be clarified. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says here in this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stayed in Mecca for only 10 years. While normally we know the 13 years that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam spent in Mecca. So why is he mentioning 10 years here? The ulama, they explain and they say that he was not negating the 13 years, but rather he was rounding the number off to the closest 10. So 10, as you would learn in mathematics, that 3 is closer to downwards is the closest 10. So instead of saying 13 years, he say 10 years. But it is, the correct thing is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stayed in Mecca for 13 years and then in Medina for 10 years. This is after Nubuwa, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam received prophethood. So that is just, I just wanted to comment quickly on that point, why he said 10 years. Continuing on, وَتَوَفَاهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ سِتِّينَ سَنَةً, and Allah caused him to pass away at when he was 60 years of age. Here again, same like with the 10 years of Mecca, is again rounding off to the nearest 10. It's supposed to be 63, but again he says 60 years, just rounding the number off. Then lastly he says, وَلَيْسَ فِي رَأْسِهِ وَلِحْيَتِهِ عِشْرُونَ شَعَرَةً بَيْضَاءَ, and in the hair and beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, there were not even 20 white strands. Now the point when it comes to the amount of gray hair that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, you'll find various narrations, some mentioning 20, some mentioning 17, 18, and various other numbers. There are a number of reasons for that, and there will come an entire chapter just dedicated to the gray hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whether Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used a dye or not. Everything will be explained in its own place in due time, inshallah. But I'm just giving you a bit of a heads up that here in this narration of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, he says that there were not even 20 gray strands. So we can move on to the hadith, the second hadith, that was the very first hadith of Al-Shamail al-Muhammadiyya on the very first chapter. So moving on to the second hadith, he says, حدثنا حميد بن مسعدة البصري قال حدثنا عبد الوهاب الثقفي عن حميد عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ربعة ليس بالطويل ولا بالقصير. This narration is reported by حميد بن مسعدة البصري, who reports it from Abdul Wahhab al-Thaqafi, who narrates it from Humaid, who narrates it in turn from Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of an average height. ليس بالطويل ولا بالقصير, he was neither tall nor was he short. This is basically the previous hadith was reported by Hazrat Anas, and this is also reported by Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, just explaining to two different people at two different times. Therefore you'll find that the hadith is shorter, different words are used, and things like this. But you can see the description in both hadith is the same. The words may have changed, but the meaning is the same. So he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was of an average height. Average height, like I said, a tall, more towards tall than short. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not exceptionally tall, nor was he short. He continues and he says, حسن الجسم, that the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was handsome. Everything was proportionate and in its place perfectly. There were no deformities or any, as you can say, weird parts about, like, you know, knobbly or anything like that, or twisted or crooked or lame or anything like that. Nothing of the sort. The body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to perfection. He continues again and he says, وَكَانَ شَعْرُهُ لَيْسَ بِجَعْدٍ وَلَا سَبْطٍ, He says that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was neither curly nor was it lank. So same like we did in the previous hadith. Then he says, Asmar al-lawn. He was of a brownish complexion. Here he used the term brown, but in the previous hadith you saw that he said not brown. So this term Asmar here, we won't use it again. We understand things in its context. So it's not brown as in brown, but rather brown as in this wheatish complexion. That same middle path that we spoke about previously, not pale white, no brown. So a middle path which is of a wheatish complexion. Then here he adds something new which was not in the previous hadith. He says, إِذَا مَشَى يَتَكَفَّأُ. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk, he used to lean forward slightly. And this point of the leaning forward slightly is going to be explained in due time, inshallah, in its own chapter. But I'll mention but more on it now. Another meaning of يَتَكَفَّأُ means to raise your legs with vigor. So we understand from this that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk vigorously, raising his legs vigorously, and would also incline forward slightly. And like I say, this will be explained now soon. What is meant by leaning forward slightly is not having a hunchback or hunching over, but rather it's explained like I said, it will come in now a newer hadith, as though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was descending from a high place. Now you know when you descend, if you're coming down a hill or something, your eyes, your gaze is there towards your feet, so there's a bit of an inclination with your head to see where you are going. So that type of leaning forward slightly, not bent over as you may perhaps think. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk, he would raise his leg vigorously and he would lean forward slightly. That is hadith number 2. Hadith number 3. He reports, حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا محمد بن جعفر قال حدثنا شعبة عن أبي إسحاق قال سمعت البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه يقول كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا مربوعا. This hadith is reported by Muhammad ibn Bashar. Again, another very famous narrator of hadith. His name comes up a lot in the Sahih al-Sitt, the six famous books of hadith. So, and he says, يعني العبدي, he is Muhammad ibn Bashar al-Abdi, who reports the hadith in turn from Muhammad ibn Ja'far, who reports it from Shu'bah. Shu'bah is also another famous narrator. He's sometimes known as Shu'bah al-Shak. The Shu'bah al-Shak, the one who doubts, because of, sometimes in his narrations he is doubtful as to which word exactly was used. So sometimes he's termed as Shu'bah al-Shak, Shu'bah the doubter. But in any case, this is the famous Shu'bah here as well, who reported in turn from Abu Ishaq, who said that I heard Hazrat Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu saying, this is now how Hazrat Bara radiyallahu anhu described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The previous two hadith was how Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to two different people on two different occasions. So here we have a third description from a different sahabi to different people again in turn. So now he says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا مربوعا. This part has two ways of being read. One, like I said now, رجلا مربوعا. And another way of reading this hadith is also, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا مربوعا. So رجلا or رجلا. Both ways are correct. The two different meanings is, if you say رجلا مربوعا, then what the hadith, this part means is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man of average height. Rajulan marbu'an. Marbu'an means medium average height. While if you take it as kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rajulan marbu'an, then this now is not talking about a man, but rather it's referring to the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So rajulan means long hair, which is well looked after. So that's why I said, the ulama have said that both meanings are correct. So, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا مربوعا, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had long hair that was well looked after and he was of a medium height. So, as you can see, both meanings are correct. There's nothing wrong with it. And this part about the hair of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم will be explained itself later on. In fact, we are coming to it right now. Now, he continues and he says, بعيد ما بين المنكبين. This part also can be read in some nuskhas, some different manuscripts as Ba'ida ma bayna al-mankibayn. Both meanings are very similar. It both means broad-shouldered. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of an average height and he was broad-shouldered. Then he says, and this is the part I was referring to, he says, عظيم الجمتي, that he had shoulder length hair, or rather, he's, okay, عظيم الجمتي إلى شحمة أذنيه, his hair was until his earlobes. Now, I explained this before, and I'll explain it again, or rather, I'll explain it at some other time, but I'll explain it now, that when it comes to the levels of hair that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, there are three levels, three different lengths. Number one is what is known as wafra. Number two is what is known as jummah. And number three, which is known as limmah. Now, the ulama differ a lot on the definitions of these words. Sometimes you may find wafra as being till the earlobes, then you find wafra till being beyond the earlobes, then you find jummah being until the earlobes, or jummah being till the shoulders. So you'll find different opinions on these ahadith, or rather on these terminologies. So in any case, in this hadith here in particular, jummah is used in the meaning of until the earlobes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me just give you the length of these three. The one is until the earlobes, one is beyond the earlobes, and one is onto the shoulder. But like I say, you'll find a difference of opinion on which length is until where. Some would say wafra is till the earlobes, jummah is past the earlobes, and limmah is onto the shoulder. And obviously, like I say, others would say differently. Like this hadith itself here says jummah, and it says it is until his earlobes. Continuing on, he says, عَلَيْهِ حُلَّةٌ حَمْرَى, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing a red garment. When Hazrat Bara radiallahu anhu was describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here to Abu Ishaq, he was seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his mind. And at this particular occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing red garments. So this is what stayed so strongly in his mind and in his memory. And he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا قَطُ أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ, I have never seen a single thing more handsome than him. And this is something that when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they said all these things about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the descriptions and the praises and all these things, it was not said willy-nilly. It wasn't just said for the sake of saying it. No, it was because they said it because it was true, not only true in their heart, but factual and real as well. Not as in the story of Majnu and Layla, where Majnu is mad about Layla, and in reality, Layla is ugly and deformed or whatever the case may be, but only in his eyes she looked beautiful. So it was not the case of this. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most handsome of the creation of Allah. That is why Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she commented and she said that the women, when they saw Yusuf alayhi salam, they cut their hands. As we know that, as the story is mentioned in the Quran, she said, if they were to see my husband, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would cut out their hearts. So just to explain quite a bit of the handsomeness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what Hazrat Bara radiallahu anhu is going towards when he said that I have never seen, he did not say anyone, he said anything. So sometimes you may find, some people find like the moon is the most beautiful thing or whatever different objects. So yeah, he said, I have not seen a single person, thing or object whatsoever more handsome than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the end of hadith number 3. Hadith number 4 continues. Also, Hadrat Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu. So this hadith is, حدثنا محمود بن غيلان حدثنا وكيع حدثنا سفيان الثوري عن أبي إسحاق عن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه قال ما رأيت من ذي لمة في حلة حمراء أحسن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith is reported by Mahmud ibn Ghaylan, again another famous narrator of hadith, who reports it from Waqi'. very famous narrator. This is the teacher of Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah. If you remember the famous poem, Shakotu ila Waqi'i, that I complained to Waqi' about the weakness of my memory. It is the same Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, the teacher of Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah, who reports it in turn from Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. And we don't need to mention even who Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah is. His personality speaks for himself. Such a well-known Imam he is. He in turn reported this hadith from Abu Ishaq, same narrator from the last hadith. But here again, he reported same from Hadrat Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu. But you'll see a bit of a difference in the wording. So either it's Hadrat Bara radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith on two different occasions, or both of it was on one occasion, but Abu Ishaq narrated part of it in the previous narration to some people. Who in this case was in the previous hadith, he reported it to Shu'bah, and this one he reported to Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, and then he added this additional part. So, like I say, it either it was both from his side, or it was Hazrat Bara radiallahu anhu who gave different descriptions, as you can say, additional information at different times. So similar like how the two of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu were both given as addition, there was some additional info in the second hadith that wasn't in the first. So anyway, coming to the hadith itself, he says, ما رأيت من ذي لمة في حلة حمراء أحسن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Hazrat Bara radiallahu anhu, he said, I have not seen anyone من ذي لمة. Here's the second term I told you. There's wafra, limmah, and jummah. So here he's using the term limmah. I have not seen anyone who had hair on the length of limmah fi hullatin hamra'a, wearing red garments, ahsana min rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wearing red garments, being more handsome than rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, what is meant by limmah? He explains it here and he says, lahu sha'run yadribu mankibayhi. His hair was reaching his shoulders. Like I said in the previous hadith, that the ulama differ on the different lengths, whether limmah is till the shoulders, or limmah is above the shoulders, or jummah is till the shoulders, whatever the case may be, there is difference of opinion on that point. But in any case, here, the previous one was jummah, which was being used until the earlobes, and here limmah is being used until the shoulders. So therefore, if you take this terms that Hazrat Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu is using, that would leave wafra as being the length which is just beyond the earlobes. One extra additional point, you'll find these three haircuts or these three lengths of hair being mentioned the whole time. The ulama explained that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to grow his hair, he would grow it until the length, until his shoulders. And when he would cut it or shorten it, he would cut it until his earlobes. So obviously, that is when some sahaba would see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as having hair till his earlobes. And then while it was growing, it would be obviously past the earlobes until finally when it reached the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before again Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would shorten it and cut it down to that size. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not cut it shorter than that, except when it was in a case of, like we know in Hajj, then only Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would shave his hair off. But other than that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to keep this length of hair. So continuing with the hadith, he says, بُعِيدَ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَنْكِبَيْنِ. Again, same like in the previous hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was broad-shouldered. لَمْ يَكُنْ بِالْقَصِيرِ وَلَا بِالطَّوِيلِ. He was neither short nor was he tall. So here, neither short nor exceptionally tall or visibly tall like we did. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tall of an average level. Not very tall that you could see a person is too tall and he's standing out, but neither short that a dwarf like that he gets hidden amongst people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as is explained in the previous hadith, was of an average to average height, more towards tallness than shortness, but not exceptionally tall. So that is the fourth hadith. We can read the fifth hadith as well. This one is reported by محمد بن إسماعيل. So he says حدثنا محمد بن إسماعيل قال حدثنا أبو نعيم قال حدثنا المسعودي عن عثمان بن مسلم بن هرمز عن نافع بن جبير بن مطعم عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالطويل ولا بالقصير. So this is Hazrat Ali رضي الله عنه's turn now to describe Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So now he says this hadith is reported by Muhammad ibn Ismail, who reports it from Abu Nu'aym, who reports it from Al-Mas'udi, who reports it from Uthman ibn Muslim ibn Hurmuz, who reports it from Nafi' ibn Jubayr ibn Mut'im. Now Nafi' ibn Jubayr ibn Mut'im is the grandson of Mut'im ibn Adi. Mut'im ibn Adi, he was not a Muslim. He supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he died before accepting Islam. So his son, Hazrat Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu, is a famous Sahabi. He accepted Islam, but unfortunately his father did not accept Islam. So, after the Battle of Badr, when the Mushrikeen of Makkah, they were captured, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو كان مطعم ابن عدي حيا ثم كلمني في هؤلاء النتنا لخليتهم له. That if Mut'im ibn Adi was alive today and he were to speak to me regarding these 30 stinking people, the mushrikeen, if he were to like intercede on their behalf and ask me to release them, لَخَلَّيْتُهُمْ لَهُ, I would have released them for his sake because of the help that he gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in any case, that is who Mut'im ibn Adi is. Jubair ibn Mut'im is his son, the Sahabi, and lastly, Nafi' ibn Jubair is the son of Hazrat Jubair ibn Mut'im, the grandson of Mut'im ibn Adi. He in turn, Nafi' ibn Jubayr, he reports this hadith from Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the following words. He said, لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالطويل ولا بالقصير. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was neither tall nor short. As you can see, all three Sahaba, Hazrat Anas, Hazrat Bara, and now Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, all of them, same description, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was neither very tall nor short, so of an average height. He continues and it says, شثن الكفين والقدمين. Now there's two meanings to this word, شثن الكفين والقدمين. One means having fleshy palms and feet. So obviously being fleshy, it means soft. When you are fleshy, not fat, but fleshy, and that would mean that the hands and feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was soft and fleshy. Another meaning for this word is rough and hard. So the ulama explained, if we take the meaning of rough and hard, then this was only during times of warfare. Obviously, when you're fighting and you're wielding a sword and you're digging in trenches and you're during the whole battle, obviously your hands become hard and coarse. So shathnul kafain wal qadamain, obviously, and you're walking and running and everything during this thing, so it's natural that your hands and your feet would become more hard. Obviously when you come back and you're at home and everything, then you're back to normal again. So if we take that meaning of being rough and hard, then this is the interpretation of how we would take it, and not that the hands and feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rough, coarse and hard. Because we know the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they described the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that I have not felt any silk ever that is more softer than the palms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously that theory of the hands and feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being hard and rough is thrown out the window. So therefore the ulama have said that if we take this meaning, then it would refer only to this times during on the battlefield, when it is times of difficulty and hardship and working excessively and fighting and things like this. But other than that, the hands and the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very soft. Continuing on with the hadith, he says, ضخم الكراديس, that the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, as you would say, moderately large. Not as, because to simply just say large sometimes has a wrong connotation, because you say this person has a large head, it gives a bit of a incorrect connotation with those particular words. So therefore I say of a moderately large size. So Because sometimes you see people and they've got big heads and look over, and it looks overgrown. So obviously this is one extreme. And then you have people who have like shrunken heads. This is the other extreme. As you could see from all the descriptions so far, whenever there were two extremes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the center. So here he says that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's head was moderately large. And then he says, Dakhmul Karadis, the joints of the bones of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also of the same largish nature. Now this joints is like knuckles and elbows and knees and things like this, the joints. He says these joints were also of a moderately large nature. Then he goes on and he says, Tawilul Masruba. His masruba was long. Now, what is the masruba? The masruba is that line of hair on the chest, which runs from the top of the chest down until the navel. This is what is termed in Arabic as the masruba. So here, from this hadith, we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a thin line of hair on his chest, which ran from the top down until his navel. Not, as you would say, a very hairy chest. Just this single, as you say, a line of hair downwards. Continuing on, he says, إِذَا مَشَى تَكَفَّأَ تَكَفُّؤًا كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُ مِنْ صَبَبٍ. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk, he would, again, like I explained previously, it means one meaning is to raise your legs with vigor, and the other one means to incline forward slightly. So we'll take both meanings, we'll put it together, and we say that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk, he would raise his legs with vigor and incline forward slightly as though he is descending from a slope. So this is the explanation of the hadith, like I explained previously, that when we say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inclined forward slightly while walking, this is what is being referred to, that as though coming down from a slope, not hunching and bending over, but rather just a slight inclination. Then he ends it off with similar words to what Hadrat Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu had said. He said, لَمْ أَرَى قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ مِثْلَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Hadrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he ends this hadith and he says that I have not seen anyone before him nor anyone after him like him صلى الله عليه وسلم. There never has been and there never will be anyone who can be anything close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or to compare with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in anything for that matter. Not only from a looks perspective, but from anything for that matter. Okay, that is the end of page 9. And I will just read the very first line of page 10, where it says, حَدَّثْنَا سُفْيَانُ بْنُ وَكِيعُ حَدَّثْنَا أَبِي عَنِ الْمَسْعُودِ بِهَذَا الْإِسْنَادِ نَحْوَهُ بِمَعْنَاهُ. This hadith is also reported by Sufyan ibn Waqi', who reports it from his father, from Al-Mas'udi, with the same sanad, in the same manner, with the same meaning. So basically the hadith just simply has two sanads. So instead of repeating the whole hadith a second time over, he just simply gave an additional sanad for the hadith. So we are here currently now on page number 10, and inshallah, we will stop on this point here. We will start hadith number 6 next time, because hadith number 6 is a very, very long hadith. Okay, not very, very long, but it's quite a lengthy hadith with a lot of additional info, which was now not in the previous 5 hadith. So to go and into the explanation of all these things will take quite some time. So therefore, I said it's best we keep it for not next week, but the week after next, inshallah. As you remember, this Monday classes is for both Aqidah and for Hadith. One week we do Aqidah and one week we'll do Hadith. So last week we did actually Hadith, but as I said, the class failed, so nobody heard anything, so therefore it was necessary to redo the class. So therefore we did the Hadith this week, and next week, inshallah, we will do Aqidah. And as for what book of Aqidah we will be doing, I said the book that we will now be doing will be Al-Aqidatu Tahawiyyah, Aqidatu Tahawiyyah of Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah, because in our previous lesson we had completed Al-Aqidatu Al-Murshidah, it was a very short book on Aqidah, so we did it in one lesson. So this time we're going to be moving on now to Al-Aqidatu Tahawiyyah, and that we can take it with more time in explaining, because obviously it's a much more detailed and bigger book. So the next week, this coming Monday, will be Aqidah, and the Monday which comes after that, inshallah, will be Hadith. So our next Hadith class will be, as you can say, in 2 weeks' time. So, in any case, if there is anything, again, like I said, if there's anything that is done in the class and you don't understand, or you want more clarification or anything on, you can send your questions in via Skype. The Skype name is Umar Radio. Alternatively, you can also, obviously, the class is ending, and if you happen to listen to the recordings, by the way, the classes are recorded, and it is uploaded on YouTube. The channel name, or rather the username of the uploader, is Ummah Radio. So you can find a couple of the previous classes, whether it's the Arabic class, the Aqidah class, the Hanafi Fiqh class, and the question and answers. You'll find it all. There are still a couple that needs to be uploaded, but basically most of them have been uploaded, and you can find it there, inshallah. And likewise, these classes, you'll also find them being uploaded to the same place. So as it gets uploaded, the links will be posted in the thread on Ummah Forum. But like I said, I was actually coming to the point that if you have any question on anything that was done in the class here, something you don't understand or whatever the case may be, you can post your questions in on the threads on Ummah Forum. You'll find it there, like I referenced it earlier, in the Ummah Radio section. The thread for Monday, for example, is Monday-Arabic and Aqidah and Hadith class. Tuesday will be the Hanafi Fiqh class, Wednesday Arabic class, Thursday Islamic Q&A. So in each of these threads, you can pose your relative questions accordingly. But in any case, on that point, we will be ending here, and we will continue with this class on Hadith in 2 weeks' time, inshallah. So on that point, we end and we say, وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.